Blog Talk Radio.
It's a new thing that's sweeping the land when you don't know which way to go. The answer is Jesus and Elevation Radio.
God bless you. This is Elevation Radio 1. And I'm your host, Pastor Steve, the Music Man Turner, and we thank you for taking the journey with us. This is the program that spotlights positive people doing positive work while serving a positive God whose name is Jesus. Our subject matter today is children are in charge. Children are in charge. The sub-thought is who profits from dead fathers? Who profits from dead fathers? My God. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 16, I apologize for that, warns us what will happen when a child is in charge. As we listen to daily news accounts, we hear ever-growing accounts of juveniles and young children doing adult criminal deeds. The Bible says every generation is weaker, yet wiser. Could it be that God, the Father, has released them as a plague to persecute society that has illegally killed his gifts through abortion? Even in Baltimore, because of racism, pre-planned poverty, and design miseducation of black youth, city leaders, and a baby mayor have allowed our now famous squeegee kids to really run our streets, violently attacking drivers and even killing one in broad daylight in the heart of downtown Baltimore, leaving his bloody body in the middle of traffic. Today, we are traveling to Texas for our featured guest to gain the insight of a famous civil rights icon. I will not say his name until he calls in. Otherwise, I will still continue with our program. And looks like my co-host, First Lady Leora Turner, the Queen, has now decided to call in and be a part with her husband. Let's see here. Okay, we've got a mechanical sound in the background. Okay, can you read Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 16, that one verse?
Well, 10 and 16 and 17. Okay. Woe to thee, O land, when thy king is a child and thy princes eat in the morning.
Okay, thank you for that. And it says woe, which means trouble. There's danger when the king who runs the land, who's in charge of the government, who's in charge of making policies and procedures, is a child. Well, we got to go here until we get our featured guest. I wonder if God in his, or Solomon, King Solomon in his wisdom, was actually prophesying and talking about Baltimore, because our mayor is a child. Is the youngest mayor in the United States, and we can see that many of his policies and his slowness to act and his childlike arrogance when he is pressured to give an account of his failed policies is actually childlike. And so it is actually childlike when we have a situation where we have squeegee kids, and I know that they come from society. They have been underemployed. They have been overlooked. They are the products of the generation of drug use and things of this nature. But build them a rec center, get them some training, get them some things that they need to have. But if they want to be a good parts of society and get a fair shot, then go ahead and do that. But if they want to break the laws and if they want to become violent, rob people and worse, murder folk, then they've got to go. And that's what leaders do. They make those hard decisions. And but to, I said to someone, a noted crime fighter, I said that it may be the reason why he wants to leave them on the street and have them terrorize the city is because he's not too far from the age that they are. And so he could probably put on a muscle T-shirt and be out there squeezing himself if the governor, former governor Martin O'Malley, hadn't put him in office. So that's what we have. And so that maybe that's the reason why he's too afraid to stop them from doing terrorizing the city. It's because he has European influences and Irish influences telling him what to do. And don't worry, when we finish with this program, we're going to make sure he gets a copy of this so he can respond to it. And if you have an opinion, you can call it 1-914-205-5353. After looking at Fox 45 and Channel 11 WBAL, realizing that there's an upsurge, an uptick in violent crime here in Baltimore, we become known more for violent crime and drugs than we are for positivity. And that's a shame. Carjackings are up by youth 50%. It says that 80% of victims of violent crimes know their attacker. They knew who they're being killed by. It says here that, just this weekend, in the last 48 hours, five people were killed by gun violence.
Oh, wow.
And so there's a parallel to me. When you see criminal activity in the halls of government, in the seats of judgment, in the courthouse, and in the city hall mayor house, which is really more like an outhouse, then you can say, well, ain't no sense me trying to become, a contributing member of society when the leaders are criminals and they do kickbacks and things of this nature. They do money laundering deals and all that, per se, you know. How do you know it's true when you have an organization that's receiving millions of dollars, ergo safe streets, that's never open? It's never open. Fox 45 has went all around the city and they discovered that they are basically a non-factor because they rarely are ever open. You know how many people are on the rolls. This is like a money laundering scheme. I mean, Parkite seems to be one of the places for that kind of thing. It was good enough for Catherine Pugh to do it. So I guess it continues on. And so the Park Heights location of Safe Streets was never open. I went there myself and didn't know it was there. I looked in, it was just as dark as an eclipse in the daytime.
Wow.
So good place to put millions and millions of dollars. Okay, but I saw a friend of mine, actually Reverend Dr. Andre Humphreys, who was on TV, Fox 45, not too long ago, saying, but they refuse to give money to his organization, the Baltimore Trauma Response Team, that has a track record of doing positivity and could actually solve these issues. But they don't want that. They want chaos. That's kind of where I'm going. They want it to continue. And there's a reason why they want violence and hardships and drug abuse and poverty and utter chaos to exist in the black community. There's a reason. Oh, my goodness. You're not going to like it. You're not going to like it. It says here that fatherless society is actually rampant. And so our kids are running rampant because there are no fathers in our communities. And it is a continuous plan of action because the father, without a father, says that most kids become juvenile delinquents. They become suicidal. They will then take on to drug abuse and alcohol abuse. And it says 68% of most of the the homes in America are without fathers. Let me preface this, black fathers. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so the slave ship has not discontinued. It's still sailing, only it's sailing on dry land. Okay. And so the father is the foundation of family structure. He is the foundation of all good things when it comes to family. Mm-hmm. This is why we call God the Father of life. And so that's important to know that fathers mean power in the community. Uh-huh. And so it says that children who do not have fathers are more likely to suffer with mental illness. Did you know that? And I'm more likely not to finish school. Uh-huh. 70% of adolescent murderers have no fathers or didn't have a relationship with their father. Okay, got to get that sound together. 70% of all adolescent murderers do not have fathers. Okay, and so that's important to note that women do not, if the father wants to be in the life of the child, do not play pawn games and power broker games with your child's future, because it's going to end wrong, and you have yourself to blame, all because of your ego. Okay, so the relationship didn't work out. Well, let him work out with his child. Do not deny him access to his child, because he made the child, not you. All you do is harbor the life. You shouldn't have to raise it on your own. However, you don't have to if you will allow him access. If he's a good man and wants to be there, then let him do that. Yeah, that's a whole message right there. It says here that there are at least 260,000 men who have been killed since 1980, kind of more than the Vietnam War. Why are so many black men being killed? We've got our whole society in disarray. It says here that that a young man, in according to the Atlantic, a newspaper in Georgia, 9-year-old James Darby, Bill Clinton, when he was president, and asked him to stop the killing, asked him to stop the violence. He said, "I know you can do it. You're the president of the United States." And it says, because what I'm concerned about is that I'm afraid that someone will kill me. That's what he wrote at 9 years of age. 10 days later, I'm sorry. Unfortunately, his greatest fears came to last and came to pass. He was taken out on a picnic with his mother and crossed my park that symbolized the success of a black athlete. And while he was out there, they had a flag football game, and somewhere along the line, things got out of hand. Playful joking became a mockery, and then a mockery turned into an argument, and an argument turned into a fist fight. And someone punched the 14-year-old girl in the eye, and her brother, who was 14 years old also, looked at the person who did it, said, "You just wait right here. You're going to get what's coming to you." They ran back across the field, went back to the house, encountered their 19-year-old brother, drinking Bacardi, and had come in from work, and they told him what had happened. His mama's baby daddy was in the house, and his son, a felon, convicted criminal, gave him advice. Be careful where you get your advice from. And told him to go on out there and then actually go on out there and actually make them pay. So they grabbed a shotgun, they got it out of the closet, and they went and they went out and said, we got something for you, and started shooting. And the young man who had worked with President James Darby, eating some potato chips at the time, received a bullet to his head. He was killed by folks he knew. And so that's what we have to worry about here when we talk about children are in control. It was basically a child, a 19-year-old that killed him. Now, we have to stop here for a second and thank God for our featured guest, and that is the Reverend Reverend Wright. How are you, sir?
I'm blessed, Pastor. You doing all right?
I'm doing all right, sir. I'm trying to do this program and keep my wife, keep her in love with me. It's a hard job. She's on the line now. Say hello to Reverend Wright, Queen.
Praise the Lord, Reverend Wright. How are you?
I'm blessed, Queen. You doing all right?
Yes, sir. I'm holding on. Thank you so much.
Good, good, good.
All right. Let me play catch up here, which Rem, is that we're on the subject matter. Children are in charge. And we're actually talking about some of the issues that we have here in this city. I know you've got issues in Texas, but we have issues here in Baltimore. We have one of the youngest mayors in the country who's making policy and making excuses, refusing to get the squeegee kids, is what we call them, where they come up with muscle T-shirts and they use spray containers and actually spray your windows, and you must pay them. Well, they want you to pay them. Now they got to the place where you must pay them. And if you don't pay them, then they'll snatch off your windshield wipers. They will maybe cuss you out. If you get upset about it, as one driver did, got a bat, went out there and started swinging at him. They followed him, and one of them actually hit him in the head with a rock. The other one took a gun out and shot him dead and left in the middle of the street in broad daylight on a work day.
Did they catch
Did
they catch the suspect?
They finally got him. He's a 15-year-old. And, the mayor here in the city, we call him Baby Brandon Scott because he's the youngest mayor in America, doesn't want to release the police chief to arrest him. We had a sorry state attorney who didn't want to prosecute him. So he calls them panhandlers. These are basically folks who are embezzling money at your expense.
They didn't want to
remove the squeegee kids, that's what they call them, off the corners. I mean, one of them said actually a threat on the news, said that when you get out your car and you got a bat, we got guns. What you gonna do about that? Don't start talking stuff if you can't back it up.
Well, you can't do that. That's terroristic threat. And what they fail to realize as a juvenile, the Constitution does not cover them. In most cases, kids are guilty until proven innocent, whereas adults are innocent until proven guilty. And so they need to get the right people down there and hold that mayor accountable, and not just that mayor, that district attorney as well.
Well, we finally got rid of Beyonce-like district attorney. I mean, state attorney who was more thinking that she was a celebrity. So we finally voted her out of office. Thank God for the vote. If we could recall the mayor, we would be doing something. Because carjackings are up, like I said, about 50% now. They're not just carjacking you now. What they're doing now is they take you out of the car, and then they run you over. That's how they're doing it up here. So the city council, I believe, wants to do a thing where they want to pay the squeegee kids and juveniles, trying to make up. They think that paying stuff is going to make up for the years of poor education and lack of rec centers and, you know, just leaving the black youth aside. That's not going to do it. That's not going to do it. So it looks like the city is being run by the kids.
It appears that there's more to it, like you said, Pastor, than being known. Because even if that mayor's not doing anything, there are county commissioners and all those people that can step in. And if you got teenagers down there with guns at 15 and something years old and you're not doing anything about it, you might need to get in touch with your governor and all that.
Well, let me, before we get too far into this, let me go into my universal question. I normally ask every guest, who is Reverend Ronald Wright?
That name sounds familiar.
Yeah, it does.
He is a civil rights activist that if you Google the name Reverend Ronald Wright, you'll see who he is. He's going to be Googled. He's been doing civil rights work not just in Texas alone, but all over the United States for the last 22 years. And like I said, if they Google me, they'll see who I am. We've been fighting for justice and for our people for 22 years, and you'd be surprised at a lot of the things that have taken place. And in most cases, Texas has always been a litmus test for this country because, as you know, Texas didn't want to be a part of the United States. They wanted to be their own United States. And so a lot of things that took place here didn't take place anywhere. As a matter of fact, they didn't want to release them slaves, and they didn't until 2 years later. And so Texas have always been the litmus test for what's going on. Well, the worst part about it is after we got rid of the so-called KKK, and we didn't get rid of them, but they accidentally sent a letter to the wrong house, and I got the letter, and I asked them, can I join? And they said, yeah, and when they realized I was black, they were shocked. So they were shocked and mad at me because I had the media everywhere there. And when they saw me, they went, oh, my God. Well, I thought y'all said that you wasn't a racist group anymore, so I wanted to join. But little did they realize, that they didn't think I realized and knew, is that they just pulled off the sheets and put on the uniforms and robes. Down here in Texas, judges and police officers and doctors and everything else. And so, but, yeah, we've been fighting some of the things that we're still going through. And I want you to know, Pastor, slavery still exists. But it's called institutional slavery. You understand? They're doing things to us that's not straight out just picking cotton, but they're still treating us badly. We have less amount of medical doctors than any other race in this country, and we help build this country. And a lot of people didn't know that. If you don't have anybody look like you, you don't have nobody care about you. I'm getting ready to do an exposure on how blacks are being treated and minorities too. Blacks are being treated that are on dialysis. They don't care about them, and so they've been experimenting for generations, and nobody has said a word. And by the grace of God, I had a young lady that contacted me, and she was not black, and she said that God just told her she needed to stop this. She's a nurse, and she needs to stop how people are being mistreated. And so we're getting ready to expose that. But it's still going on, Pastor, this institutional slavery, and we've been doing it and fighting down here in Texas and all over the United States. And, you know, many years ago, a police officer shot a little kid at a park, and the little kid had a play gun. Well, I went to California, and I protested it might have been a Chinese organization, but I passed a law that they're not supposed to build guns that look like real guns, and they play guns, because officers could use that as an excuse and kill a kid. And they should have done it in the first place, but they did. And that lasted for 10 years, and now they've started back again doing it.
And there is a reason, Reverend, especially when you deal with it ends up in the medical field. All society ends up in the medical field. According to, looks like here, mel.megazinc.com. It says that the actual title says whole body brokers make dollars harvesting organs from black people.
The past,
and it says that
years ago, and like I said, I'm blaming Texas. Texas created the Medical Examiners Board. And they realize that they, first of all, and then we got some of our ministers that don't teach the truth and teach what they need to know. But Texas started the Medical Examiners Board because they realized that once we died, they came from us. They could use our body parts. And so what they did was they told all these undertakers, black and white, well, not white because most blacks use black undertakers, shut your mouth and you can charge them whatever you want. And what they were doing is before that body went to the undertaker, they would clean their body completely out of parts that they needed. And so that's why in a lot of cases, We are fighting this war right now. Is why is it that certain people are getting kidneys and certain people can't? And one of the guys said, well, they signed the back of the driver's license. Get out of here. If I don't sign the back of the driver's license, I should go to the grave with my body parts, but they've been taking them. And so just like you said, they've been taking everything, not just our kidneys, but everything that's in us, they've been taking and using to give to other people.
And you're absolutely correct, sir. According to this article, it says that here in Arizona, there's a company called Biological Resource Center, which actually has a price sheet. The torso without the head is $2,400. The whole body, the whole spine is $950. The whole leg is $1,100. A whole foot is $400. And it says here, according to the medical, he was a medical supplier for research facilities and hospital research facilities, according to this FBI agent. Now, when your location is a medical research facility and hospital training ground, I don't know about Texas, but I know here we have several hospitals, world-class hospitals, Johns Hopkins located in the Port area. We've got University of Maryland. the list is endless. So when you're a mayor of a city that has a known for research and health, you're not really trying to solve crime when you've got black people being totally castrated and totally removed the body parts, laying in the streets like it was in Philadelphia. Took out everything, rib cage, everything like that. Because we have our own center, as someone told me, on Green Street, where if you die before you can get to the funeral home, they will actually take you down to Green Street, the old Social Security building, underground, take out all your body parts, and that's why it takes so long for you to have a funeral.
Absolutely. And you know what? And this is stuff I've been explaining and exposing for years. And a lot of people just thought, now they realize what I was telling them years ago is really happening, is true. They've always done that, but they're doing it to us because they came from us. And if you notice, usually when the white people do die, they bury them the next day. They ain't taking nothing from them. They in the ground the next day. And then, I know everybody got, that I said blindness is not a big thing anymore because the eyes is the first thing to go. And then some guy tried to tell me, no, they just put something over that. No, they don't. The eyes are out. I was doing an investigation on a crime and walked into a funeral home, and I guess they didn't realize I walked into the room that I probably wasn't supposed to, but walked in anywhere, and the body was open. It was completely empty. And I said, where are the body parts? Oh, we don't know, the body just came in. Well, where's the part? And so this has been going on. We don't have anybody. The sad part about it, Pastor, we don't have anybody to do anything about it because we are no longer. They've accomplished what they tried to, but the devil is a liar, and that was to hold the black man down because they know once they got us down that they can pretty much do what they want to do, and nobody's going to question them. But when I've had several doctors here that have lost their jobs because they made a document. One doctor lost his job because he got sick, and they tried to suspend him because he got sick and he asked for medicine. And we threatened them, and they ended up getting the doctor come back because we let them know. But that's when I found out we have less doctors that look like us than any other race. And how is that? And we help build this country.
And so what is your agency called?
It's Justice Seekers Texas, but we are all over the United States. It's Justice Seekers Texas, Civil Rights and Social Justice Organization. And the Texas is because that's where we are, we're LLC. But we do work all over the United States to accomplish things, and we've done that. We've had a couple of cases where we've had to fly down and make a difference, and a lot of them are pretty. A lot of people are pretty upset because they're thinking he's in Texas. Why is he worried about us up here? But injustice anywhere, the threat of justice everywhere, and that's we just got to fight it. And you know, Pastor, I'm getting to the point now that as we get ready to expose how we're being treated medically, I want to expose how people that look like us that are not doing anything.
Can you stand here in Baltimore with the mayor?
I got one down here. I had no idea he would become mayor because he started, this little youngster started in front of me and all of a sudden he ended up being the mayor. But you know, it's time out for this jigaboo stuff. We got to cut this out. And it got a whole people, you know, and the only thing about it is a lot of us pastors, they don't mind us. They don't mind the preachers preaching. They don't mind these politicians doing what they're doing, but they don't want to hear, we need to stick together coming out of neither one of them's mouth. And a lot of them don't say that. And as you know, Martin was recognized and got the Nobel Peace Award, Malcolm even done something, but it was only passed until they said, we got to stick together as a people is when they were killed. Because they once we get together, we're going to be unstoppable. And even now, I think the black woman realized that, yeah, just like Eve did, that serpent lied to you. This man done lied to y'all. He don't care nothing about you either.
Nope.
And I guarantee you, Pastor, I know down here in Texas, if you go to that jailhouse and ask half them boys in that jail who your dad is, they can't tell you.
The fatherless society. That's what we're getting to. That's now.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say that we need to qualify you, sir, because some people are saying this guy's got a lot of opinion. He has a lot of experience, but who is he really? I think you sent me something that you had a congratulatory card from President Obama when he was president, asking you to come up and talk to him.
Well, let me tell you what that was about as well. We had a situation down here in Texas where a young man was driving an 18-wheeler truck. And
okay, kind of breaking up, kind of breaking up. I didn't hear any of that. We need to hear all that.
Hold on. Let me start back. Let me get back in where it's quiet. Okay, can you hear that? There's a young man, he was driving an 18-wheeler truck and loaded the gun. And it was the guy who worked for was after him. He made the wrong turn to the highway department. So we'll go around to the Mexican border and turn around and go back this way. But when he did, they arrested him. And even though he was at work and he said, no, I'm working. And I'm just driving his gun up and arresting him next to him. And he said,
okay, we're missing all that, Reverend. I don't know where you are, but it's not all coming in. Okay, we're not getting it. Okay, I think you hit a bad patch of travel on the road.
That's the thing.
Okay. All right, right. Okay, I got to stop you here. We're not hearing you clearly. It's coming in bits and pieces. Can you call back in? All right, maybe he has to call back in so we can actually hear, because he's given us jewels and gems of wisdom. And pearls, I understand it. Okay, can't hear you at all. Can't really hear. It's all broken.
Yeah, they got my phone hacked. What I'll do is I'll try to call back.
All right, sir. Okay. Queen? No, I can't hear you.
I'm here. You hear me now?
Okay. All right. Yeah, I said, yeah, okay. I can hear you now. So the while
he's
we're
really
getting
breaking
we're
back. He's breaking up. Not you.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I said all that. I'm saying that. That's why I asked you to call back in. All right. So I'm saying that as we were trying to elevate with pearls of wisdom, basically the devil started some nonsense. Here he is again. Let's try it again.
All right.
Let's see if we can get our friend back here, Rem Wright, who was actually telling us and giving us wisdom. We got you back now.
Can you hear me better now?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the
FBI. What were you saying, sir?
That was the FBI. They don't want me talking to y'all. They don't want me listening. At any rate, they always do me like that. At any rate, the young man with the Mexican children around stayed for 6 months, and they treated him like a dog. They would eat their food and scrape all the prisoners would eat their food and scrape it in one pot, and they would take it to him. He went in there weighing about 220. He got out. He weighed about 70 pounds with an elephant on his back. But I kept writing to the state secretary telling him to release this man. And I had 13 truck drivers. They said, Reb, what do you want to do? I said, we're going to shut down the highways, and I'm going to do it in front of the Mexican consulate because I'm going to let them know that you let this man out. This man is on his job. He didn't do anything wrong. And so eventually it was the second term for your president, and I let him know that we're supposed to divide that vote up because we're supposed to start a riot on the Mexican border and all of this and everything else. And he just told me to just wait till after the election's over with, and I promise you I'll get the man out. And after the election's over with, he got him out. And like I said, the young man weighed about 70 pounds with an elephant on his back. And it was like, this is unbelievable. How can you do this to a man? And I guess then President Obama realized I wasn't no joke. And so he said, you know, whenever you come to Washington, please come see me.
Wow. What a story. Wow. And all that from making a wrong turn?
From making a wrong turn. And the highway department said, go to the Mexican border and turn around. And they treated this man like crap. And we talking, man, this man is on his job. Why are y'all doing him like this? Because what it was is those guns were going to Arizona, and Arizona were trying to stop them from sneaking across the border because they crossing over in Arizona. And I imagine that's what the guns
were. Okay.
But I had to get on the Jamaican guy because I let him know, well, you going to do something about him, or I didn't want to have to get on him. I let him know, don't be afraid of Tarzan.
Yes, sir. I mean, if you have an opinion, you can call in at 1-914-205-5353. If you are shocked by some of this information that you're getting today, if you are appalled by it, if you are racist, maybe you need to readjust and figure out what's wrong with you. Something is mentally wrong. We are all from the same fruit, and so you stop hating your brother and stop going to extremes for this kind of nonsense. Well, there's I'm trying to think of the national reverend who's always on the news. He's on MSNBC. Al Sharpton. Do you know Al Sharpton?
Hi.
Do you know Reverend Al Sharpton?
Y'all all see him on TV. But the our point is to ask you a question and try to do it decently without. We've always had dog and pony shows, and even with Dr. Sharpton, who at one point started out like he was serious, but when he went down to Ferguson and they realized they gave him his own little show and things, and he was doing his own talk show, he shut down and decided not to accomplish anything. See, Pastor, it's one thing for us to be seen on TV all over the United States, but it ain't about being seen. It's about accomplishing things. And my question was, you can Google me and see what I've accomplished if I say, Dr. Sharpton, what have you accomplished?
Okay. And if somebody has an opinion, they can call in at 1-914-205-5353 and tell us what Dr. Al Sharpton has accomplished.
They got a little upset at Al at Ferguson because they told him, as a matter of fact, they told Al to get out of their town. Because they knew he ended up selling his soul for a general, and they didn't want him in there. They said, no, we don't want you down here because, you know what, you started this fight. But, see, it's one thing, Pastor, if you just want to be seen, but it's not about being seen. It's about accomplishing things. And you notice nobody picked up the baton when Martin died.
Then Jesse tried to do it?
Jesse went around and did what he did, but as a matter of fact, when we started Justice Seekers, Jesse and I were both on the same show, And Jesse really said he wanted me to be over his Operation Push here in Texas, but I told him, no, God wanted me to do Justice Seekers because I had started the SCLC here in Texas, and they didn't want to do a lot. And then, of course, the NAACP turned into a dog and pony show. And so God
That's
just
true.
Told me to go ahead and God just told me to go ahead with Justice Seekers. And so when I did it, they all jumped on board with me. But, Pastor, it was about accomplishing things. We wanted to hear mm-hmm. God say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Not you look good on TV. So my thing is, you know, I thought I was going to get out and do some things. But at the end of the day, Pastor, if they ask us, what have we accomplished at the end of the day, what a lot of us going to say?
He might say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. No, you not.
okay.
You got your reward down here.
That's what it's been about. And they upset because they said, you know, why is he all over everywhere? I mean, I even had England come down, fly down from New England to come down and do stories with me about what's going on. Well, we had the police shooting down here with the young man getting shot, and our so-called chief walked around everywhere thinking he was the best chief in the world. He was a dog and pony show because if he had been, he had a SWAT team, why you couldn't go in there and arrest that young man and find out why he did what he did, but because we found out that it was money being passed around, they didn't want to do that, and he was the reason why. You got one little guy when he done the shooting down here, and God showed me that was going to happen the day before, a week or two before passed, because the police, the kids were having a swimming party, and the police took a young black girl, and it made national news. He was slammed all on the ground in front of the swimming pool, and all the kids were around them, and they done it, and I let them know right then that they were creating their own terrorists in this country. And I let them know the group wasn't going to be called ISIS, it was going to be called USIS, us against these racist police officers. And 2 weeks later, police got shot everywhere. And they were good officers, ended up losing their life at the expense of bad officers.
Yeah, that's how it works. Well, I tell you,
that's what it's been about, Pastor. Yeah, I know them. We had several of them down here want to be seen just to be seen, but what are you accomplishing? It ain't about being seen. It's about accomplishing things.
So I guess they're more concerned about their brand. And that's a big news nowadays. You get your brand.
And that's what it's all about. Pastor. And I'm going to preach on them tomorrow, and I'm going to ask them, are they disciples or are they disappointments? And a lot of them think they ain't disciples, they disappointments. They might be Christians because you like Jesus. You might be a Christian, but you're not following his orders.
Lord have mercy. If we could just put God has a perfect order, which I wish man would stop messing up. And that is God is the Father. You worship Jesus the Son, and the man is the head of the house. Good God Almighty, as long as he's following God's worship, and the woman is supporting him, she's not the head, she's not the man. We made her the head because some fathers have abandoned the household, impregnating women and keep on running. That's not a man, that's a boy. And some women needing love can't go after every man they get their hands on. I've been watching too much Paternity Court.
Well, you know, the devil has tried to, they flip this Bible around, and a lot of people hate when real men of God say this, but I ain't holding my tongue back for nothing. They try to turn everything around. They stopped us from praying in school. This is supposed to be a God-fearing country. Now they got these women thinking around, walking around, thinking they the head, and they don't know. Then God said, man, he made man in his image. Woman, he made you out of man. He didn't make you in his image. And a lot of, when the word of God teaches that man is the head. And so I tell a lot of them, and I love them all now, if you ain't got no head, you dead. And if you got two heads, you're a freak. And so quit trying to be the head and be the help me.
You're going to get me in trouble. Because I don't know if they are that strong, as they say, we don't know the man for anything. If you're that strong, then why am I looking at Mari Povich and Paternity Court, and I see all these women, oh, I need help. He lost me.
Yeah.
I can't do it by myself. Come on, shut up. What can you be both? You can't say you can't be the head and the tail is like that. You got to make up your mind. You got what you wanted. You still paying up.
Yeah, you make your bed hard. You got to lay that in. If you think you're so smart, why didn't God just And I tell them all the time, a lot of them got mad at me. I had a few of them that were upset because we preach the word of God and we preach about what thou should not do. And just like thou tell, I commit adultery, God destroyed the entire community for this homosexual pain. God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. A lot of them get upset about that. He didn't make Eve and Louise. He made Adam and Eve. And so it is, a lot of these women get mad.
Let me ring the bell because it's we're out of control here, sir. You cannot. You cannot say that in this LGBTQ or sometimes Y situation because they fight and they think that they're right. They have rights. I don't know. Now, here's a question I don't want to ask because I was once the third vice president, the second vice president, and the first vice president in the NAACP, and they told me that I had to, if I became president, I would have to endorse the rights of homosexuals. And I said, I don't understand how homosexuals have any civil rights. Let them do their own thing, not mooch and be a parasite on the backs of black people. Okay, we are earned our school rights.
That's what they
get your own thing.
That's what they did, Pastor. That's exactly what they and they used the black because you know we were coming up and you was a boy. You thought you was good. You stayed away from everybody because you knew what you gonna get broken head. But even with that being said, how you gonna call yourself a believer of God and God charter community? But acting like y'all want to act, and nowhere else in the Bible did he say, it's okay, I made a mistake. No, he did not. And the devil's got him fooled. But at one point, Pastor, they was running this country.
Running the church.
You'd be surprised at how
they do it up here.
You'd be surprised at how they're behind that pulpit. That's why God said,
yes,
when a lot of them come to me, he's going to say, man, get out of my face.
Wait a minute, did you just say that many of them have their behinds in the pulpit?
I said, you'd be surprised at how many of them are behind the pulpit.
I done heard.
Yeah, that's behind. Lord have mercy. You make them start up carrying BB guns and pellet guns. Lord have mercy. But yeah, they tricked us. They wrote off the our back and talk about discrimination. Brother, we were born this color. You were not born a woman. The God
exactly. That's your choice.
Perfect God. You made
that's
that
right.
choice.
That's right. Tell
her. Yeah, you made
right.
that choice.
It was your choice.
You understand? Yeah, that's it. If you want a choice. If we choose not to be black, we black, it doesn't matter. But, I mean, you're going to get up there, and what they're really upset about is, and the reason why they had to get rid of discriminating against us because of color is because they realize, and that's what shut the country down, that the Jesus that they were honoring didn't look like them. He looked like us.
Wait a minute. He said he had feet of polished bronze. His hair was woolly.
That's woo-hoo. That ain't straight. That ain't sunburns.
Nope.
That's us. Finally realized that even the Klan organization realized it, and they realized it. Lord have mercy, we got to let these Indians know that we don't care about no Jesus. That's why they was burning crosses in the yard. Nope. So how you going to be a man of God and burn a cross in somebody's yard? You burnt that cross in that yard because you realize the man that was on that cross, that was in the middle of that cross, looked like us and not y'all. And all white folk aren't racist, but just a few that are. But my thing is, Pastor, if I know that you're doing something wrong and I don't open my mouth and say nothing about it, I'm guilty by association. And God's going to hold me against that, too.
Yes, sir. Let me segue here. I love everything you're saying, sir. There is a name, Jahai, looks like McNath. She was a young black woman. We're back to medical now, where she was probably going into the hospital for a tonsillectomy. And she wanted to reschedule the for sleep apnea. And she wanted to reschedule the surgery. She even asked the doctor, are you qualified to do this? And he said, yes. So they went ahead and did it anyway, and somehow after the tonsillectomy, she became brain dead. And so the hospital was real quick to try to, even though she had life functions, she was still alive. They wanted to actually commit her and take her off life support, and the family had to fight to keep her on. Do you know why they were they're rushing to do it, to get her and to pull the plug. I just want to ask you a question. Do you know why the hospital is
not
so fast?
One of the main part of the reason would be not wanting to expose it medically.
Well, that sounds good.
It's a sad part about that. Go ahead.
That's not it. A very learned inquiry, but the real reason the hospital and any hospital wants to hurry up and to pull the plug on any black person is because it is better when you are still alive to take your body parts. That's why they want to do it. According to this article in Mel, MegaZinc.com. You're breaking up again. You're breaking up again, sir. Breaking up again. Queen, he's breaking up again. The FBI
because
is trying to stop him from talking.
He's breaking up because the truth is being told.
Yeah. The FBI, the NSA, the CIA, all don't want him to talk and sure don't like what I'm saying. So in the future, that's why I say that if there's any chance of life, you need to have, what is it called, oh, my goodness, I forgot the name of it. But it's a predeterminate where you can do your will in advance.
Right.
Where you don't want to have the hospital or give the family give permission to pull the plug. Keep me alive. I'm going to keep my wife alive. And if I have to make a decision over where I'm right, I said, keep alive. If you're dead, get your hands off that plug.
Keep them alive.
Smack you. So, I know what you're up to. I know what you're up to. Yeah, this man's going to live. We leave room for miracles if we let him live. And so if you any family member that you got to deal, if you're in the future with anything like this, don't let the hospital talk you out of the life of your loved one because they're trying to make money and harvest their parts. That's what they want.
Yes.
What you got coming up new, Reverend Wright? What you doing? Because
well,
you're always doing
We basically did a little event with the community and the police department today, bringing them together. And we just got to continue to teach the word of God, Pastor, like we do, and continue to fight for justice.
Well, somebody might say, well, what is a reverend, what is a preacher, a pastor, a bishop got to do? His work is supposed to be only in the pulpit. What are you doing traveling around the country fighting for social issues and causes? What in the world's going on?
I'll stop by to tell you, Pastor, God's property don't stop at that offering table. And it's not about that pulpit. You hear me? Jesus wasn't behind the pulpit downtown, and he went everywhere, healing the blind, making the lame walk. You understand me? So it wasn't God's property don't stop at the offering table. And I know a lot of your mega preachers, all they want to say is gimme, gimme, gimme. And Warren was on that other day, said the Bible don't mention that, but he got four or five jet planes and everything else at all the offering. And that's what's destroying that's what destroyed God's house. But yeah, you're supposed to get out there and do things. God's property don't stop at that offering table. And a lot of some of these preachers, if you can go to their church and they demand you to pay their tithes and offering, but you can't even walk up to them and say nothing.
Yeah, and you got to get an appointment with the secretary through the
and it's all entertainment. You know. That's what it is. It's all entertainment. That's what it is. But, yeah, we continue to do that. We continue to spread the word of God, and that's what it's all about, Pastor. It ain't, you know, I'm an immigrant. Just the whole Mexicans think they don't. I'm an immigrant because this ain't my home. My home's upstairs. And so.
Okay. Hold on a second. Let me ask my wife. Queen, do you have anything to say to this living legend here, this severe preacher and social reform agent and change agent? Do you have anything to say to him?
No, I'm just listening to him, and I'm in agreement with him, you know.
Oh, okay.
It's not everything he says, speaking truth.
Okay, well, that's pretty fantastic, Reverend Wright, because she don't agree with it too much of everything.
Well, thank you, Queen. I thank you.
You're welcome.
And like I said, tomorrow, Pastor, I'm going to ask them when I'm preaching to tomorrow, are they disciples or they are disappointed?
You know they might say
they're Christians. Are you really one? Are you really out here doing what Jesus is doing? Let's serve his people. And that's all I want to do to serve.
Well, let me ask you a question. Bishop, let me ask you a question. Do you have an exit plan just in case they get upset? Do you have an exit strategy just in case they get upset?
Other than that, unless they take me out and I got this big old barbecue grill in front of my house, I told them I don't even want to pay the mortician, just put me in the barbecue grill.
I got
a big old grill sitting in front of the house. I said, just stick my body in there, because I'm going to a mansion. I can tell you about this little house. Just put me in that barbecue grill and go on.
I tell you. Listen, we got down to 3 minutes here, so let me go into Can I do a commercial here? Let's see here. Can I do one? Let me try a little small commercial. Here we go. All right, listen. The time has passed for you to get tickets to the Mighty Newsom Gospel Award Show on Saturday, August 20th at 7 p.m. I do have a few tickets left in my personal possession. If you really want to go, if you can't get any from the box office, you need to call me quickly at 1-410-302-2737. And it's exciting. If you want to sponsor, it's not too late. Title sponsor, mid-level sponsor, give me a call. We can get you notified with your business or church. 1-410-302-2737. And if you're looking for a special organist for your special event, Revival Anniversary Call, you want to call an organist at 1-410-302-2737 or www.calltheoncallorganist.info. All right, that's it. Listen, how can folks get in touch with you, Rem Wright?
All right, they can Google Rem. If they Google Justice Seekers Texas, they'll be able to get all our contact information. Just Google Justice Seekers Texas, and you'll see Rem Ron Wright. Our email address and our telephone number and all that's there. And just contact us and let us know.
Yes, sir. Well, I really appreciate you coming on this program and classing it up for us. We thank you.
Thank God.
Some people were saying, how does he know? Exactly. Some people were saying, how does he know Reverend Ronald Wright? He's just a regular podcaster from Baltimore. How do you know him?
You know what, Pastor? We just nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody can save anybody. That's what we are. And so thank God.
Yes, sir. All right. If
God
you can tell my
Pastor, thank you for having me. And God bless Sister Queenie. And I look forward to seeing you again.
I tell you, if you can just tell my wife to treat me like a somebody, I would be okay.
We're going to discuss it. Me and Queenie are going to discuss that. I'm going to call her. We're going to discuss it.
I gave her 17 years of my life, sir.
All righty. You got me well. I'm going to try to negotiate for you.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. I need all
God
help I can
get. God bless you. Y'all have a blessed day down in Baltimore. God bless you. We love you.
Yes, sir. We love you, too. God bless you.
Bye-bye.